If you've got a Bible with you or on your phone, if you want to turn to 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. So we're beginning a new series. Let's listen to these words of the Apostle Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we're going to read verses 1 to 11. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God in Corinth, together with all the saints throughout Achaia, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts we felt that sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. And we'll end our reading at verse 11. May God add his blessing to his word. We're going to go through 2 Corinthians over this autumn season. Occasionally I have preached on 2 Corinthians, but I have not gone through it substantially. Over the past 15 years, I'm here 15 years this week. Isn't that incredible how time flies when you're enjoying yourself? But 2 Corinthians is a book I haven't really gone into that much, and yet I've felt strongly led to preach on it through this season. Ministers often avoid it because it deals with some difficult issues like suffering and opposition, and it deals a lot with the authority of Paul the Apostle. And perhaps we say to ourselves, well, look, we're not apostles, therefore a lot of what Paul writes here is not applicable or not relevant to the church today. But actually, as we go through it, I hope that you will see how relevant it is, and perhaps especially in this season we find ourselves in. I've called it Real Church because I believe it presents to us church as it really is, with all its messiness and difficulties. Church is made up of human beings, and where you have people, as we know, you have mess, you have needs, you have suffering, you have hurts, you have criticism, but also where you have people, you also have joy and laughter and support and comfort and forgiveness and the joy of the Holy Spirit and worship. And in the Church of Jesus Christ, you have a new family, a family who hopefully will walk side by side with you in whatever painful thing you're going through. Some people feel like giving up on church. In fact, I have no doubt that over this past 18 months, maybe people have bailed out on church. They're not even watching online or listening on to a CD or whatever. And that's a tremendous sadness and tragedy. And my hope is that these people will start to come back to church and see the strength of church and the love that we can find in church and the support in church. And so as we go through this letter today, I hope that we will go out feeling, yes, church is important. I need church in my life, and I need Christ in my life. So welcome to Real Church. A little background to 2 Corinthians. This is actually the fourth letter that Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. In 1 Corinthians 5 and 9, he refers to his first letter, which has gone missing. And then the second letter he wrote is our 1 Corinthians. And then he wrote another letter, a third letter, which is referred to, we think, in 2 Corinthians 2, verses 3 and 4. And that also is missing. That also has got lost. And then he wrote a fourth letter, which is the one we have here, 2 Corinthians. So I hope that's clear. He wrote four letters, two of which we still have. So there was a lot of corresponding between Paul and Corinth. Corinth was a church he cared for. It was a church he was invested in. It was a church he loved. And he wanted to clarify some things. Most of the letters that Paul writes were for a reason. And the reason he wrote this letter, and he wrote this about a year after 1 Corinthians, so 2 Corinthians was written around AD 55 into AD 56. The church in Corinth had been infiltrated by some false teachers who were challenging Paul's authority as an apostle. And they really said two things. These opponents of Paul said, look, Paul has suffered so much. How could he be used of God? How could he be an apostle? Surely if God is working in him, if God is using him, if God is in his life, he will be blessed. It's a kind of form or version of the health and wealth gospel. When you trust in Jesus Christ, life is going to be plain sailing. It's going to be good. And yet Paul's life was full of suffering. And so they said, this guy's not an apostle. Don't listen to him. He has no authority. He suffers too much. And the second thing they said to say that Paul was not an apostle was the fact that he had originally planned to come to Corinth and to have two short visits. But he changed his itinerary into one long visit. And so they said, if Paul can't even get his own diary into shape, how could he be a prophet? How could he be an apostle? Now, as we listen to these arguments, we think, you know, these are very weak arguments, and they are. And yet these arguments were beginning to influence the church in Corinth to the extent that they were beginning to go against Paul and his teaching. And so Paul in 2 Corinthians decides that he needs to write, he needs to share his heart, he needs to give a defense of his status as an apostle of Jesus Christ, and to give the reasoning behind his change of itinerary. And so most of 2 Corinthians is this thrust, is driven with this desire. In fact, in verse 8, he says, he admits, we were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. So when Paul writes to Corinth, instead of brushing off this talk of suffering and said, oh, you know, I didn't really suffer at all, he actually says, you don't know the half of it. I suffered to the extent that I was in a very dark place where I despaired even of life itself. And these opponents of mine who think I suffered, they only know half the story. And I'm going to share with you some of the stuff that I went through. But instead of saying this undermines or undercuts his unique authority as an apostle, he says, this actually makes me eminently qualified to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. And so today I really only have one point, and that is that we need each other. We need to walk side by side. And when we suffer, as we inevitably will in various ways in this life, it does not disqualify you as a Christian. It does not disqualify you from ministering. In fact, in some ways, it can actually help you to minister to others in the power of the Spirit as we walk side by side. So let's tease that out a bit. Paul was a human being with real experience of life. He was made of flesh and bone, as we are. He is a person with feelings and emotions, a person of some intellect, a person in whom the Spirit lives. He was unmarried. He had come up through a very strong and robust Jewish religious system, but he has met the Lord Jesus Christ, and his whole perspective of life has changed. The law, the religious law, has faded more into the background, and grace has come front and center. All of this Paul brings to the table. And so do you. When we become followers of Jesus Christ, a lot changes about us. Now, a lot stays the same and a lot changes. Our priorities change. As we've seen in John chapter 3, we're born again of the Spirit. But even though we're changed in our character and God will continue to change us over the years, there's a lot that stays the same. There's a lot about our bodies and our personality is just us. We are essentially the same person, albeit a new creation in Christ. And we're all weak vessels with various points of temptation and failure. But this actually is paradoxically a good thing. And it's why we need church, and it's why we need one another. Listen to Ed Walsh on this. God is pleased to use ordinary people and ordinary conversations to do most of the heavy lifting in his kingdom. Those who help best are the ones who both need help and give help. A healthy community is dependent on all of us being both. We all need help. That's simply part of being human. And anything that reminds us that we are dependent on God and other people is actually a good thing. Otherwise, we trick ourselves into thinking that we are self-sufficient, and arrogance is sure to follow. We need help, and God has given us His Spirit and each other to provide it. Church, you see, is about us discovering that we are weak. And we know that God is walking side by side with us. In fact, His Holy Spirit is in us. And God wants to use His Spirit and also other people walking with us side by side to help us through life. Walsh continues, we were meant to walk side by side, an interdependent body of weak people. God is pleased to grow and change us through the help of people who have been recreated in Christ and empowered by the Spirit. That is how life in church works. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1, God the Father comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort that we have received from God. If you're ever in the Belfast City Hospital on the ground floor where the lifts go up to the wards, you will find that verse and one or two others is written on the wall just outside the lifts. It's been put there by the chaplaincy department. And it's a reminder that we who are coming in to visit, we come to bring comfort, we come to bring prayers, we come to bring help, we come to bring solace. And that's a very important thing. But in a sense, these verses maybe could be written in our foyer as well. Because church is like a hospital. Sometimes the sickness is not evident as in when you're in a physical hospital. But we all are sick. There's none of us perfect. I'm certainly not perfect. You're not perfect. And God, by His Spirit, wants to minister to your imperfections and to your weaknesses and to your temptations and to your struggles. He will do that directly through His Spirit. He will do it through the worship. He will do it through the Bible reading and the prayers. But He will also do it with the fellowship of others, your fellow believers, as you walk together side by side. Don't be like the false teachers who infiltrated the church in Corinth, saying, that boy Paul, he suffered so much, God couldn't be speaking through him. No, Paul was weak. and he was happy to say he was weak. Paul, at some points in his life, was very needy and despaired even of life itself. And he says, these actually make me qualified to speak into people's lives, to walk with them, to share in the suffering which they experience. And of course, Paul says, Christ suffered. The Lord that we worship, he saves through suffering. He was on a cross, weak, despised, rejected, and yet he saved people through that. In verse 5, Paul says, for just as the sufferings of Christ flow into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. In this passage, Paul mentions the word comfort 10 times. And in 25 out of the 31 times we find this word comfort in the New Testament, Paul is using it. So it's a big deal for Paul, this word comfort. Now, the English word comfort, as so often we find this, the English word comfort is not a direct equivalent to the Greek word that Paul uses here for comfort. Tom Wright says this: the Greek word Paul uses for comfort is a bit more many-sided than our English word comfort. It can mean to call someone, to come near, or to make a strong appeal or exhortation. The whole idea of the word is that one person is being with another, is alongside another, speaking words which change their situation, giving them courage, hope, new direction, new insights which will alter the way they face the next moment, the next day, indeed the rest of their life. When you put all of this together, the best English word we have is probably comfort. So rather than being disqualified for ministry and leadership, Paul is saying, look, I'm eminently qualified. I am able to walk alongside you and to pass on the comfort that I have received from the Holy Spirit and from my other companions who have been walking with me. The Holy Spirit is the comforter. When we were doing our series on the Holy Spirit over these last 4 weeks, we saw that the Spirit changed us, the Spirit led us, the Spirit gifted us, the Spirit adopted us. But we could have added a fifth one, that he's the Spirit of comfort. He comforted us. When Jesus was leaving the disciples, he said, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. He will be a counselor and a comforter to you. He will walk alongside you and direct you in the difficulties of life that are coming. The Holy Spirit is not always about healing. The Holy Spirit is probably more, actually, about walking alongside of us through the suffering, whispering, keep going, persevere, keep on going. The Holy Spirit is the comforter, the one who helps us to persevere through the disappointments, through the closed doors, through the thorns in the flesh, and we'll hear about that again later in this series. So we receive comfort from the Holy Spirit who walks with us side by side, but we also receive comfort from the Holy Spirit-filled people who are around us. And this is part of the beauty of church, because we can empathize and sympathize with people who are going through similar experiences. Paul says in verse 6, if we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. In church, we encounter people who are going through the same sufferings we suffer. In church, we have people in different seasons of life who can speak into our season that we're walking through because they've been there or they're experiencing this. And that's so good. We have people here who have different experiences, people who are single, people here who are married, people here who are widowed, people here who are bereaved today, people here who are struggling with life, people here who have cancer, who are walking alongside people with cancer, people here who are disabled, people here who are mentally struggling or emotionally struggling, people here who are same-sex attracted, people here who are depressed, people here who are disabled in various ways. This is the beauty of church, that we walk with each other side by side by side. And a lot of these experiences I've not had. Sometimes I or Nikki will refer people to somebody else in the congregation who has had that experience. We say, look, go and talk to them. They have walked in your shoes a bit. They have experienced this. And they will pray with you and they will share what it was like to walk this road. And that's the beauty of church. It saddens me, I understand it, but it saddens me when people who are ill or whatever, they withdraw from church. And they withdraw from the support that the church can bring. Now, I know sometimes we feel ashamed, we feel embarrassed when we're going through certain things. But actually, when we need people around us the most, we tend to run away from them, and that's not good. It means we become vulnerable, but we're sharing together, we're walking together, we're side by side together. And that is one of the beauties of real church. It's one of the blessings of church. One of the hardest things about this pandemic over this past 18 months has been the separation and the distancing. When people have most needed the touch, the hug, the kiss, the comfort, the presence, they have been barred. They've been barred from the hospital ward. They've been barred from the nursing home. And I must commend and thank those, maybe on your behalf, those nurses and carers who held a person's hand while they died. It was so important that someone was there doing that. There was that physical touch side by side. It has been such a painful 18 months, and we know it's not over yet. Now, I understand why these regulations were brought in. I understand it totally. But the immense pain and desolation and loneliness that there has been awful. In church today, we have moved closer. And there's perhaps a little bit of nervousness in the room, 1 meter. But this is a good visual illustration of what we need. We need each other side by side, side by side. Because life is hard and life is difficult. Side by side, helping one another, worshiping together, praying for one another. And so as we go through this series of real church, may it open our eyes and soften our hearts to see the importance of church. Yes, it can be messy. Yes, people will say things that will hurt you. Yes, it's not perfect. But it's good, and it's real, and it's necessary. So pray for one another, support one another, be gentle with one another. Paul says, as we close, all these things have happened to me that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. This is what it means to be part of a real church, traveling hopefully together, side by side, bringing comfort to one another, knowing that in our weaknesses we actually can bring strength. In our hurts, in our suffering, God can shine something of his glory. So welcome to Real Church. Shall we pray? Father, again, we thank you for your word to our hearts. We thank you for the Apostle Paul, who in the midst of his suffering was still greatly used of you and could speak with the authority of an apostle. So Lord, help us in this season, still a difficult season, help us to share with one another. Help us to support one another, to pray for one another, and to walk side by side. For your glory and our good, we pray. Amen.